family. He introduced her them this morning. I guess he'll probably do that again. Of course, she's out there with the baby. Baby's not feeling too well, and so you pray for that. But Brother Mike Morrissey is heading back to the Philippines. I say back to the Philippines. Was there with a team a few years ago, and now is going to set out on his own to have a chance to start another church. And so he's kind of back here filling out the rest of his deputation. But he is working his way through, hoping to go in sometime middle of next year. And so you pray for them as they head toward the Philippines. He's going to share. I'm going to steal all the thunder. Let him tell the story. He's got a little video he's going to do, and then he's going to preach for us. So, brother, give us what's on your heart. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Pastor Walsh. It is good to be here tonight, and I appreciate Pastor Walsh allowing us to come. And let me start with this. I introduced my family this morning, but I'm going to do something here. Beth, Mrs. Walsh, is it okay if Beth sits with you? Can I do that? My wife is out in the back with our little one. He pray for him. AJ, his name is Andrew. We call him AJ. But go ahead, Beth. Michael, just a second, buddy. And Michael, can I put my son with y'all? Is that okay? Now, I'll say this for my children. I call them cute little terrorists for a reason. And don't let them push you over, all right? And they know how to behave, and I expect them to. So I tell people all the time, all missionary children are perfect, including mine. But mine forget sometimes, so I have to remind them. And I'm going to turn on this mic right here. Here we go. Pushing. Got green. All right. Am I on? Am I on? Here we go. Good? Excellent. Should I pull it up a little bit? I promise you, I'll provide my own volume later. I promise I will. Can you hear me? Are we good in the back? We all right? Good. All right. I don't stand behind the pulpit for too long. I think I have ADHD or something, but you can't prove that. And anyway, it is good to be here. I've enjoyed everything today. I enjoyed Sunday school, the service this morning. I've enjoyed the music. Man, I hope you know what you have in your church. And I travel. We've been in many, many churches in the last year and a half. We've been traveling. And that choir special, if you can't preach after that, you just can't preach. I'm telling you. And that was good. I enjoyed that. That was awesome. And I want to thank the church for providing the hotel room for us last night and tonight. Very nice. And it's my kids would tell you, it's big, and we like that. And when you have three kids with you, it's nice to have a little bit of room. And it was a good-sized room, very comfortable, and we appreciate that. Thank you very much. And there's something else I want to say. I can't remember before I get into my presentation. Must not be important. But anyway, I don't look at my outline too often. But I guess I'd like to start by saying this. I love being a missionary. I think I probably said that this morning, but it's true. I love being a missionary. I love what God has called me to do. Let me say this right here for you young people. All you young people, listen to me real careful for just a second, okay? Don't you ever let the devil convince you that if you serve God full-time as a missionary or maybe as a pastor or some other way, if you end up in the mission in the ministry, don't you ever let the devil convince you that that means your life will be boring or miserable. It is not. Serving God is awesome, and nobody has more fun than we do. Filipinos are crazy. I fit right in. It's awesome. And I love it. I love the Philippines. I love the culture. I love the Filipino culture. It's a little different than our culture. Filipinos like to communicate with their eyebrows. You ask a Filipino, hey, you coming to church tomorrow? Here's what they'll do. Here, Pastor. That's it. Used to drive me nuts, but now I do it. And if you get me around Filipinos, you'll see me do it. But I love the culture. I love their humor. I love speaking Cebuano. In a minute, we're going to watch the video. I speak the Cebuano language. Do we have any Cebuano speakers here tonight? Didn't think so, but I thought I'd ask. Once in a while, we meet one. I was at a little church up in, you know, Michigan. They always talk about it's like a mitt up in the thumb of Michigan. I was all the way up at the tip. The entire county had about 3,500 people. And there are two Cebuano speakers in their church that morning. Blew me away. And I stood up and told them in Cebuano, I said, if I start preaching in Cebuano, you'll know who I'm talking to. But anyway, but I love Cebuano. I love being able to communicate with the Filipino people in their own heart language. And I even love driving in the Philippines. Watch the video. You'll see a picture early on of us sitting on our motorcycle. And by us, I mean the whole family. Well, minus AJ. He wasn't around yet. But watch for the picture. And it's not a joke. That is our family car in Dumaguete. And you say, you can't do that. You can in the Philippines. And nobody gets a ticket. And you say, that's not safe. driving anywhere in the Philippines isn't safe. And God takes care of us. And I love driving in the Philippines. I love God's call on our lives. And can I say this too, by the way? It's amazing how after you surrender to God's call, then he gives you the heart and the love for the people and the place he's called you to. So many young people struggle. I can't see myself doing it. That's because you haven't surrendered yet. And when you get there, then you get to enjoy. You get to see how God changes your heart. It's an incredible thing. And I love it. I love soul winning in the Philippines. Philippines is a special place. The people are open. In our video, you'll get to watch dozens of pictures of our soul winners that we've trained going out and winning people to Christ. I remember when those soul winners got saved. Some of them I got to lead to Christ. And here's what it is. The Philippines is a very Catholic country. It was colonized by the Spaniards for about 300 years, and the Spaniards' motto was, "We rule by the cross and the sword." And so they forced the Filipino people to convert to Christianity, not Bible Christianity by any means, but they forced them to convert. So these people have been for about 300 years, they were forced into Catholicism. That leaves an impact. That leaves a mark on a country. About 70% of the Filipino people are Catholic. So here's what that means. They believe the Bible is God's word already. They believe Jesus Christ is God's son already. They believe that he died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again. So all they need is for somebody to come in and connect the dots and say, "Hello, you don't have to earn it then. He already paid. Salvation is by faith, by grace, through faith. It's not about what you do." And it's an incredible thing when you can walk up to somebody you've never talked to before. They hardly speak a word of English. Many people do speak English in the Philippines, but many don't. But you walk up to somebody who hardly speaks a word of English, and you introduce yourself in Cebuano, start a conversation, and get into the gospel in 20, 30, sometimes 45, sometimes an hour later, you get to see them bow their head and put their trust in Jesus Christ. There's nothing like that. And here's the thing. They're open to the gospel because they know they're missing something. They know the Catholic Church isn't giving them the whole story, and they've got that doubt in the back of their mind because they know in their heart they're not good enough. And when it's amazing how many people are anywhere you go in the field. I could take you with me. I could find English speakers, and I could start the conversation and turn it over, and you could lead them to Christ if you know how to give the gospel. What I'm saying is I love where God has put me. The Philippines is special. And there's other countries like the Philippines that are open, but the Philippines is special in this regard. The Philippines, how many know do you know the term the 1040 window? How many know that term? Anybody? Okay, we know that term. It stretches across northern Africa, the Middle East, and Southeast Asia, and out, of course, into the Pacific to include the Philippines. The 1040 window is the darkest, spiritually speaking, the darkest part of our world. It has 2/3 of the world's population, and it has by far, it's not even close, the least Bible-preaching churches. It's not even close. What do you have there? Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and communism. And then you've got some animism mixed in and some other, but those are the big ones. The oppressive countries where it's not legal for a missionary to go in. That doesn't mean a missionary can't go in. It just means God has to open the door in a special way. But my point is this. In the corner of the 1040 window is a little bright spot. It's called the Philippines. And for decades, the Philippines has welcomed missionaries and men of God, most of them Baptists, have gone into the Philippines and started churches, trained soul winners, planted the Word of God. And if I could put it this way, now it's harvest time. It is harvest time. In 5 years in the Philippines, my wife and I are just our personal soul winning. We were able to lead more than 2,800 people to Christ in 5 years. What is that? God has been preparing it, but not as only is he preparing the Philippines, but he's also preparing the Philippines to be a sending country. You ever heard the term? Maybe not, but there's a very commonly known term all over the world. It's OFW. It means Overseas Filipino Workers. They are all over the world. The world. I don't know if you realize this, but a lot of the world doesn't like us as Americans. I don't know if you know that, but it's true. A lot of the world does not like us for a variety of reasons. But the world loves the Philippines. You know why? Because the Philippines sends them cheap labor. and the Filipinos will go anywhere in the world. They work hard and they take small wages and the world likes them. So do you know what that has created? It has created an environment where a Filipino missionary can go almost anywhere. And the opportunities from the Philippines are just tremendous, not just in the Philippines, but to send missionaries to places like China, the Middle East. Do you know how many Filipinos are in Saudi Arabia? This blew my mind. This just shocked me. There are over 1 million Filipinos in Saudi Arabia. Do you think maybe we could sneak a couple missionaries in there somewhere? I think we could. What I'm saying is, yes, there are countries that there are countries that would be very hard for you and me to get into as missionaries. That's not to mean God couldn't open the door. It's just difficult. But what I'm saying is this. God has already opened the door to those countries for the Filipino people. And I believe God is going to use the Philippines to reach into areas that are very difficult for us to get into with an American passport and white skin. But a Filipino can go blend in, easily learn the language. Most Filipinos are at least bi or trilingual. They learn languages easy. Once you start learning languages, it gets easier. But my point is this. God's doing something special in the Philippines, and I want to be a part of it. Philippines has become home. We're ready to go home. And I'd ask you to pray for us. Pray for the city of Dapitan. It's a very strong Catholic city. By strong, that does not mean the people there are not open to the gospel. What it means is the people are very open, but the Catholic Church is very strong. And when people start to get saved and they start to grow, the Catholic Church can make their lives very difficult. They can't throw them in jail. They're not going to get them killed. But they can put a lot of pressure on them through other means, through their own family. And they can make life very difficult. Here's what they do. You lead somebody to Christ. At least two different pastors told me this. They said, in Dapitan, you'll go soul winning. And you'll find the people are very willing to listen, very ready to get saved. Because there's very few soul winners there. So the ground is very ripe. But you'll find them very open. But here's what they said. When you start discipling them, when you start going back, before you even get your church planted, when you start going back to have Bible studies with them in their home, the Catholic lay leaders, we'd call them faith defenders over there, will follow you house to house, wait till you leave, and threaten your converts behind you. And the next week, you go back to visit that convert who is so excited, ready to get baptized, and they hide from you. Because they know you're right, but they don't want to fight their family. They don't want to fight the church. They don't want to fight the culture. And the devil has had a grip on Dapitan for a long time because of that. But I believe he's ready to do something about it. I believe God's ready to do something about it. I apologize. I believe God is, if God wasn't ready to do something about it, he would not have called us there. We were there in the Philippines 5 years, helped start a church in Dumaguete. You'll see that in the video in just a minute. It's only 5 minutes long, then I'll come back and preach. But we've seen God build a church in Dumaguete. I believe he's ready to do it in Dapitan. But here's the key. God has to do it. And that's why as we travel, we ask you to pray. We set up our display back there, and we've got prayer cards on our display. I'd ask you to stop by and grab one, take it home, and pray for us. Pray for us, pray for our trap safety, pray that God would help us to quickly get back to the field, but pray for Dapitan, and pray that God would open the door in a special way there, because God has to do it, and I believe he's ready to. So I'd ask you to pray, please. And let me mention this, too, before I show the video. Pastor mentioned it this morning. I've written a book. I call it Soul Winning Still Works. 22 soul winning stories that will warm your heart and challenge your personal commitment. Here's what I've found as a soul winner. It's easy to get discouraged. Even in a country where it's easy to see people saved, it's easy to get discouraged. And what I have found one of the most encouraging things for me as a Christian, as a soul winner, is to hear other people's soul winning stories. And that's why I wrote the book, because one of my big goals as I travel is I want to encourage soul winners. And I wrote this book for that purpose. I want to be an encouragement to the people who feel like you're just slamming your head against the wall. Sometimes you feel like, does anybody want the gospel? Yes. We just have to find them. They're out there. But anyway, we sell these books to try to raise money for airfare. It's very expensive to fly a family of five to the other side of the world. So we do try to get a little bit of a head start for our airfare. So if you'd like to buy one, we sell them for $5 a piece. We got them on the display there, and we'd love to help you with that. I'm going to go ahead and show the video at this time, and then I'll come back and preach. Are we ready? Here we go. Just let me sit here. Is that my water?
This is your water.
Okay. Because I already need some. I'm fighting that cold. Thank you.
Yeah.
kung ang bilihan natin ng katuhan, kahit ang bayan sa sala, mao ang kamatayon. Ang bayad sa sala, mao ang kamatayon. Kita na yung sala, kasi mo kung ang bilihan natin ng kakong sala, na ay bayan.
My name is Mike Morrissey, and this is my wife Ruth, my daughter Elizabeth Joy, and my son Michael Jr. For the past 5 years, we have served in the Philippines, on the island of Negros, as members of the Indo-Philippine Missions Team, where we had the privilege of helping to start the International Baptist Church in the city of Dumaguete on January 16, 2011. As young missionaries, the opportunity to work with a team of dedicated, godly Christians was one of the greatest blessings of our lives. Under the leadership of Pastor Randy DeMoville, we saw God build a church from practically nothing into an established ministry, with a full-scale Sunday school, programs for the teens and children, a Bible college, an extensive music program, and most importantly, over 50 soul winners going out on a weekly basis, spreading the gospel all over Dumaguete. And through it all, God was using us. And though we didn't realize it at the time, in God's perfect plan, He was also preparing us for the future. He allowed us to learn the Cebuano language, and consequently, how to interact within the Filipino culture. Within the ministry of the church, I was able to serve as the children's pastor, and later as the youth pastor. We learned how to have fun with a Filipino twist. Whether it was junior church, vacation Bible school, children's choir, youth activities, or teen choir, nobody had more fun than we did. And of course, every event included plenty of teaching and red-hot preaching.
The devil's number one goal in your life as a teenager is to convince you that you know what's best.
In addition to working with the young people, God allowed us to serve in many other practical areas. And of course, everything we did was centered around soul winning. During the 5 years that Ruth and I served with the Indo-Philippine team, God allowed us to personally lead more than 2,800 souls to Jesus Christ. God was truly using us in Dumaguete. But in the midst of all our work, God began burdening my heart for the island of Mindanao. Mindanao is located about 50 miles south of Dumaguete, and though predominantly Catholic, it is the home of millions of Filipino Muslims. After many months of praying and seeking God's will, God is leading us to launch out and start a church in the city of Dapitan, a strong Catholic community located at the northwestern tip of Mindanao. Though we're sad to leave Dumaguete, we're excited for the future. We've seen God build a soul-winning church in Dumaguete, and I believe with all my heart that God will do it again in Dapitan.
I'm so ready to go home. I was going to tell you. To you, that's just pictures. To us, that's home. Matthew chapter 6 in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to hasten tonight. I talked a little longer than I intended in my presentation. Sometimes I get excited. That happens. But Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read some very well-known verses tonight. Tonight's message is a message of perspective. There's different types of messages that you'll hear preached, but tonight's message is not so much a doctrinal message, or there's many different types, but it's a message of perspective. Because as we go through life and the pressures and the burdens of life come down, it's very easy for our perspective to get skewed. And oftentimes we as Christians will make poor decisions because our perspective is bent out of shape. We're not seeing life the way God sees life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. You can just follow along silently as I read aloud. The Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The title of my message tonight is Sacrifice or Investment. Sacrifice or investment. Let's pray. We'll get into the message this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, I need you tonight. You know that. God, I cannot preach without you, and I would not try. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd come down and fill me in a special way tonight. I pray, God, that you'd be with each listener. I pray they would be attentive and listening to you, your Spirit, Lord, as I preach. Lord, I pray that you'd bless tonight. Help us to make good decisions for our lives, Lord, but more so for your kingdom. Bless tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The word sacrifice is a word that is often used in reference to missions and missionaries. It's funny the ideas people have about us as missionaries. I don't understand people who feel sorry for us as missionaries. I really don't. Certainly, there are trials and difficulties on the mission field. There are challenges and struggles. But last time I checked, you have them on this side of the ocean too, don't you? That's just part of living on a sin-cursed earth. That doesn't happen because you live on the mission field. My wife's mother, we were supposed to be here this past April. We were not able to be. We had to call and reschedule. Your pastor was very gracious, but we weren't able to be here. My wife's mother passed away of cancer. We had to be at the funeral, and the scheduling didn't work. Can I say that would have hurt no matter which side of the ocean you live on? Yes, there are challenges. Yes, there are struggles. But any Christian working in the service of God is going to face those struggles. Whether they're the pastor of the church or a construction worker or a plumber, if you're serving God, we are in a battle. We're living in a sin-cursed planet. There's going to be struggles. But we often use this word sacrifice in reference to missions. Tonight I'd like to draw a contrast between two words, sacrifice and investment. Let me give you a dictionary definition to begin. I'm writing my own Bible now, it's pretty good. But anyway, sacrifice, to give up, destroy, permit injury to, or forego something of value for the sake of something having a more pressing claim. To sell at less than the supposed value. To put it simply, sacrifice is giving up something for something that is more important. That's sacrifice. When we think of sacrifice, it typically somehow includes our suffering. That's the way we think of sacrifice. Worthwhile, but painful. That's the way we think of sacrifice. Now let's look at the word invest. Invest. To put money or resources, into business, real estate, stocks, bonds, etc., for the purpose of obtaining an income or profit. To spend time, effort, etc., with the expectation, that's a key word, expectation of some satisfaction. Can I tell you tonight, sacrifice and investment have a lot in common. Both cost you something. Both cost you something, but investment carries a much more positive connotation because there is the expectation of a return. They call it ROI, return on investment. Can you imagine if I came in here tonight all depressed? Pastor Walsh, my life's so full of sacrifice. I opened a savings account at the bank today. They took $500 from me, and all they gave me was a stupid piece of paper. Suffering, sacrifice. You'd say, Brother Mike, you're an idiot. That's not a sacrifice. It's an investment. You're gonna get it back. And that's the difference. Now, don't misunderstand me. I've preached messages in the past on Christian sacrifice, and we ought to be willing to sacrifice, and I'm sure I will in the future. But tonight's message is a perspective message. And it's very simple. I'd like to ask this question. Is it really a sacrifice? Because the truth is, so many Christians, that's the way they feel about serving the Lord, like I just described with my bank account. They feel like, I'm doing all these things, I'm giving all this up, God, for your cause. I hope you appreciate it. And we get this attitude of, I am giving it up. I am sacrificing to benefit you. To the average Christian, serving God is just me giving up something, me giving up my time, me giving up my money, me giving up my abilities for your cause, Lord. It's me giving something up to advance his kingdom. But the question I would like to ask tonight is this. Am I really giving something up in my service to God? Is it really a loss? When I go soul winning, have I really lost something? If I stand up and I teach a Sunday school class, as many of you did this morning, is that a loss? Have I sacrificed it? Is it gone forever? I'd like to propose to you tonight that the Christian life is a life of investment, not sacrifice. So many times we as Christians erroneously believe that putting money in the offering plate is a sacrifice while placing that same money in the stock market is an investment. I beg to differ. The Bible says both are an investment, and may I say, both will give a return. The question is this, what kind of return are you seeking? What return are you looking for? And we're not talking tonight just about finances, though that certainly is the way our mind goes when we talk about investment. We're talking about where you invest your life, your time, your talents, and your treasure. Where you invest your life. The reason so many Christians struggle in serving the Lord is that they are looking at it as a sacrifice instead of an investment. Can I just say, I'm not sacrificing. Let me put it this way. I haven't lost anything in this Christianity thing. Hey, let's go back to the very beginning when I got saved. My mother led me to Christ. I exchanged heaven. I don't call that a sacrifice. And now as I live my life for Jesus Christ and I'm going back to the Philippines to be a missionary, I'm not sacrificing, I'm exchanging, I'm investing. I'm exchanging temporary things for a crown of righteousness. I'm exchanging a few dollars that I could make for treasures, eternal treasures in heaven. I'm exchanging the American dream lifestyle and the opportunity to live close to family and friends. I'm exchanging that for lost souls being saved in the Philippines and hopefully one day all over the world. That's not a sacrifice. That's an investment. I'm not sacrificing. I'm just choosing to invest my life in God's business. Here's the key. Because I like his dividends better. I'll be honest, I, as a teenager, I wasn't that spiritual. I just looked at what the world had and what God had and said, his is a whole lot better. I've seen both sides, and I don't like the devil's side. Hey, young people, the devil's a liar. He offers you this have it now, pay later garbage. And let me tell you, you will pay later when you take the devil's way. And you won't enjoy it later. And I'll be honest, you only enjoy it a little bit now. Sin hath pleasure for a season. It ain't worth it in the long run. It's like running up a big old credit card debt. Man, it's fun, but it doesn't last. Those credit cards eventually come back for you, don't they? And that's the way the devil works. The devil accepts credit cards. See, you have a very simple decision to make. Where do you want to invest your life? What do you want to make the emphasis of your life? What return are you seeking for in your life? You see, I learned something. I was looking into start a Roth IRA. There was a time when I couldn't get life insurance because I was a missionary. They wouldn't give me life insurance. So I said, I got to do something. So I was looking into getting a Roth IRA. I found out there are tons of different options out there for investment. Oh, my soul. But when it comes to the Christianity and this thing of investing your life, you really only have two options. Would you like to hear them? It's real simple. Here we go. Option one, you can invest in the things of the world. The Bible says in 1 John 2:17, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. But in 2 Peter 3:10, the Bible says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's your first investment option. And that's how it's going to end. Can you imagine if I came to you today and I said, nah, I've got a great investment opportunity for you. It is awesome. It is the coolest new tech company ever. I mean, it is great. And I get you all convinced, and you're ready to do it. And I say, oh, there's one thing I ought to mention to you. I just want all the cards on the table. So I'm going to be honest. That's a bad expression, isn't it? All the cards on the table. But anyway, I don't know where that came from. Uno cards, all right? I like Uno. But anyway, so I just want to be honest. Just think I ought to mention, my business, it's built on the side of a mountain. So... well, it just happens to be a volcano that's about to explode any day. How many of you want to invest in my company? You wouldn't invest in something that's going to be destroyed tomorrow, would you? But God says this earth shall be burned up. How do you like your first investment option? Anybody in? Option number two, you can invest in God's business. The Bible says, I love this, 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Can I tell you something tonight? God's stock market has never crashed. His investments never lose their value. His dividends always come round. And may I say to you tonight, hey, young people, God's dividends sure beat the devil's. Sure beats the world's fun. So many young people want to try what the world has to offer. You're not missing anything. You have what they need. You don't need what they got. Saying today is you're going to invest your life somewhere, and I'd like to recommend you invest it in God's business, because when you spend your life in God's business, the dividends are always worth it. Now, may I just say, by the way, just time out right here. I'm not saying that's why we serve God. We love him because he first loved us. If he never did anything else for us, he is worthy of our service. But I'm saying, on top of all the good things he gave us in salvation, there's a whole lot more out there. And it's worth it. God's dividends always come through. Now, very quickly tonight, and we'll get out of here. I'll give you three phases of God's dividends, and I will not take long, I promise. Three phases of God's dividends. Phase one, God's first phase of return on investment. I would call it present dividends. Sometimes When you serve God, you get an immediate benefit, the immediate dividends. That's what happens sometimes when you go soul winning. This past Friday, I went out to do some soul winning because we were going to be driving all day on Saturday. So I went soul winning on Friday. And I was driving around, and I was by myself because it's not a scheduled soul winning time. My wife and kids are sick, so I'm by myself. I don't like that. I don't want to go knock on doors necessarily. Who knows what's going to happen? So I'm driving around. I said, Lord, would you lead me to somebody out walking? Amen. By the way, there's people out walking who want the gospel. Amen. They're out there. Amen. You know what? He did. Amen. I turned a corner, and I saw a couple walking towards me, a young couple probably in their upper teens. I think they were probably 17, 18, something like that. I pulled the van over. They were walking towards me. I got parked the van, just kind of waited for them, got out of the van, walked over. Said, hey, saw y'all walking by. Can I give this to you? And I gave them both a tract. I said, that's got some good news in there for you. Tell you how you can know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You'd like to know that, wouldn't you? And they looked at each other, looked at me, said, yeah. And I started talking to them a little longer. I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, if something happened, just suppose you were to die, because we all know we're going to die eventually. It's just a question of when, not if. I said, just suppose today was your day. Are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven, or do you have some doubts there? It was already obvious they had a little bit of doubt, but I was asking because I wanted to say it. And it's the funniest thing. The girl looks over at her boyfriend, nudges him, says, just told you about that. And I'm like, you just told him about what? And she proceeded to tell me a story just a few minutes before there at McDonald's. There's a homeless guy outside McDonald's, and as they left, she gave him her extra hamburger. And she thought she was going to heaven because she gave him her extra hamburger. No joke! But you see what was happening there? Right before I met them, they were talking about how to get to heaven. Do you know what I call that? God. God, that's got to be God. About 30 minutes later, both of them bowed their head and put their trust in Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? There's no joy like that joy. You can have anything the world has to offer you, young person, and you can try all the world's fun. There's no joy like watching somebody get saved. But let's just be honest, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you work, and you work, and you work, and you work. You invest, and you just feel like, am I just wasting my time? Which leads me to phase number two. God's second phase of return on investment is future dividends, but in this life. You ever feel like you're working, but nothing's happening? You got that Sunday school class, and you teach, and then they walk away from church and break your heart. You invested in your own children from the time they were young, and then they went off into the world and just threw away everything you ever taught them. You just feel like, what's my investment good for? You ever been there? Can I tell you something? Your investment still was not in vain. You don't know what God's doing in the background. Can I tell you a quick story? We're moving to Dumaguete City. We were in Dumaguete. That's where we planted our church. We're getting ready to plant the church. We were there staying in a hotel looking for housing in a church location. And we're staying in a hotel. And I would go up to the fifth floor of the hotel in the morning time. They had an open-air venue that they'd rent out for events or whatever, but in the morning nobody was there. And I'd go up there to pray. I like to walk when I pray. So I'd walk back and forth up there, and I'm walking back and forth praying. I was excited. We're getting ready to start the church and just talking to God about it. And I walked over and I looked down to the railing, looked down to the sidewalk below. I looked over the railing there, and I saw a security guard down there on the ground below, hotel security guard. And I just thought just crossed my mind. He looked up, our eyes met, and I just walked away. But I just thought, Lord, would you give me an opportunity to witness to that young man? I'm not kidding you. Within 4, maybe 5 minutes, no more than 6 minutes, that security guard walked into the room where I was praying. True story. I said, well, Lord, I guess I can take a hint. I'm done praying, aren't I? He walked up to me. I introduced myself, started a conversation, found out his name was Emerson Ubas. He's 20 years old. Started witnessing to him, found out he was a very strong Pentecostal. He wasn't Catholic. Very strong Pentecostal, very much believing in his work salvation, his baptismal regeneration, and being filled with the Spirit, whatever that means when you're not even saved yet. It took me 2 hours dealing with him. But at the end of 2 hours, he bowed his head and put his trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. And I left there that day thinking, wow, that was loud, sorry. And I left there that day thinking, That young man belongs in Bible college. He's sharp. He's respectful. But it didn't happen. His family got upset. We had war. For a year and a half, I prayed for him. I visited him. Nothing seemed to be happening. After a year and a half, he finally got baptized. That really heated things up. It was a battle. He was struggling. His parents were upset. His pastor, they pulled his pastor into it, cornered him, just preaching it. It was ugly. I remember the day when Emerson finally made the decision, I am a Baptist. I am not a Pentecostal. I believe salvation is by grace through faith. He became faithful to our church. He went to Hiles Anderson College of the Philippines. That's our Bible college. Started training him. Now he's a fourth-year preacher boy at Hiles Anderson College. I'll be honest. For the first year and a half, I was discouraged. And it was a battle. He got into Hiles Anderson College, and I was the junior church pastor at the time, and we would bring our different preacher boys in to preach in junior church because they speak much better Cebuano, and it's a great, great opportunity for them to practice their preaching abilities. And 1 week, Emerson's preaching in junior church, and I'd never heard him give his testimony. I knew my side, but I didn't know his side. Here's what he said. He's speaking in Cebuano to the kids. But he said, one day, I was a security guard at the Coco Grande Hotel. And I looked up to the fifth floor. And I saw a man up there looking down at me. And I thought, he's going to jump and kill himself. I have to stop him. True story. He ran up five levels of steps, five floors, to save my life. And here's what he told the kids that day. He said, I went up to save him, and I was the one who got saved. Amen. When the time came for me to leave the Philippines and come back to the States, I preached my last sermon in junior church. I finished my sermon in junior church, and I said, boys and girls, I'm not going to be here next week. He said, next week you're going to have a new junior church pastor. Said, his name is Emerson Ubas. I tell you something, folks, there's no joy like that joy. Amen. You say, Brother Mike, I'm discouraged. You just keep on investing. Brother Mike, I feel like I'm not making a difference. You just keep on investing. Number three, I'm done very quickly. God's third and final phase of return on investments is eternal dividends. Amen. Eternal dividends. I remember when I graduated from Hiles Anderson College, I stood on the platform, stood off to the side waiting for my turn, and walked up partway up the steps, and they called my name. As I walked up the steps to get my diploma, I heard a cheer go up in the crowd behind me. And I'll be honest, I was surprised. I didn't know I had any friends. But I'll be honest with you. Did I? We're still good. All right. I guess it's time to quit. We'll be done right here. I love my dad. My dad's not a preacher. He's a truck driver. He's a deacon. He's a Sunday school teacher, but he's not a preacher. But I love my dad. My dad was my hero growing up. As I walked up those stairs and I heard that cheer, there was only one voice that mattered to me. I heard my dad say, "Atta boy, Mike! Atta boy, Mike! And that's all that mattered to me. One day when you stand before Jesus Christ, all you're going to want to hear is, well done,
Amen.
Thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
And nothing else is going to matter at that point. He said, Brother Mike, I'm struggling. You keep on acting. Can I ask you a question tonight? I'm done. I'm sorry, I think I've gone over time. Can I ask you a question? Where are you going to invest your life? Are you investing your life based on eternal priorities? If not, can I recommend that you consider adjusting your portfolio?
If you're investing, you're discouraged, you keep on investing. God will come through.
Amen.
And it will be worth it.
Amen.
Could I have every head bowed, every eye closed? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I apologize, I've gone over time. But I think we should have an invitation. I believe you always do. But I have to ask tonight, did God speak to your heart tonight about your personal investment? I wonder if there's someone here tonight, you've been discouraged, you've been thinking about giving up your Sunday school class, thinking about giving up your work on the bus route, thinking about quitting soul winning, or maybe you have. Can I say, get back to investing? Or maybe you're here tonight and you haven't invested. Maybe you need to adjust your portfolio tonight and change something so that you're making sure your life counts in the things that really matter. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Walsh.
Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The altar's open.